Good evening. Welcome back to our church services here at the Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. We trust you've had a great day in the Lord. That was Brother Robbie Mullinax singing, "I've Come Too Far to Look Back." And I tell you, I've come too far to look back. And even more than that, I've come so far that I don't want to go back. Amen. There's nothing back there that thrills me, nothing back there that excites me, and nothing back there that I want to go to. And I'm so thankful that when God brings you out and He brings you through the trials and the place where you were, He's so good that you just don't want to go back to what used to be. And we're just thankful for that song tonight. We're thankful for Brother Robbie and his ministry. And just check the site there at the bottom is his website address, and you can go and check out Brother Robbie and the ministry that he has. He's one of our missionaries, getting Bibles into places where people don't have Bibles, and we just encourage you tonight to log on there and go and support Brother Robbie and help him to deliver God's Word to places in the world where they don't have it, they don't have access to it. And we want to mention our prayer request again and ask you to remember those needs that have been made known. And since we give you the list this morning, we was reminded that Brother Paul's son, David Mullins, is still dealing with the blood clots in his leg. So you just pray for him and uplift him in prayer. And then we found out this afternoon that Brother Tracy Duval, the pastor over at Cornerstone Baptist Church, and his wife Sarah have both tested positive for the coronavirus. So you pray for them as they deal with this. They're both doing fine. And we just pray that God brings them safely through it and sees them through it in the midst of everything. Continue to pray for your church family. I talked to Sister Connie this afternoon on the way down, and she said that Reeve is doing better. And since he's got his phone and has been able to talk to her, she said his spirit seems to be up. So we just thank God for that. You just pray for her, pray for him, and just pray that God would just help them as they go through this long trial of separation physically, but they're together in their spirit, together in heart. And remember all the other needs that have been mentioned, the other needs that have been made known. Let's just run through them real quick. We got Marie Lefeu feeling better, asking prayer for her loved ones and prayer for her as well. Just keep them in prayer. Tanya Sawyer, just always keep her in prayer. She has an ongoing need that's never going to go away. So just always lift her up in prayer. Sister Trish Deaver, keep her in your prayer. She's waiting for the results from her biopsy. Should be here tomorrow. Keep Gilbert, Brother Eugene Rodriguez's friend from New York. He's got kidney problems. Kidney's only functioning at 15%. Keep Brother Stan and Sister Reba in your prayers for their health issues. Brother Stan is in pretty bad shape with his back and just in a lot of pain. I just pray that God would just give him some deliverance, some relief from the pain. Keep Sister Debbie Stanley's lost loved ones in prayer, and her friend Linda, who is going to be going on chemo but has to do some radiation first, and I think starting this week. So be much in prayer for her. Pray for Charlie McCoy, a friend of the Mullins family that is recovering from corona. So just pray for him and just pray that God would strengthen him in body and that he would feel the touch of God upon him. Pray for my grandson, Nick Jones, and he has to have knee surgery. And I think they're probably waiting for all this stuff to blow over. He tore his knee up on a fire call here a few weeks ago. Been giving him some problems, so we ask you to pray for him. I pray for Jack Mullins and his health issue. His immune system's down. Sister Eileen says they're holding their own, but can use the prayers. Brother Randy as well, just lift him up in prayers. And Paul with his back. And then all our health care workers. We have so many in our church that are connected to the caregiving needs in this world. Nurses and folks that work in nursing homes, work in care facilities, and different things. So we just ask you to pray for all of them, our first responders, and just keep your church family in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and just ask Him to meet the needs of all the things that have been brought to our attention and all that we know. We ask you to especially pray for those that are contacting and getting this coronavirus. Brother Kenny Baldwin got it. It hit him hard. He said, "It's nothing to joke about." It's nothing to play around with. He said, this stuff is real. You pray for Brother Kenny as he's continued to recover. And just pray for others like Brother Tracy that's getting it. And we're starting to hear folks that we know of getting it. And folks that we know who have friends that are getting it. So be much in prayer and just pray that God would help to strengthen these that are dealing with these problems. But let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Our Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come again before your throne. And Lord, we come, God, boldly, as you say that we can, but humbly, Lord, realizing that all our strength and all our help has to come from you. And Lord, everything that we're in need of, Father, only you can supply. And God, we just ask you tonight that as we have went through our list and seen the prayer needs in our church and in our families, Lord, that you would once again, Father, just intervene. You'd once again have your way. You'd once again touch lives, touch bodies, and do the healing and do the work that only you can do. And dear God, we just ask you, Father, especially for those who are lost and undone, for the many who ask for prayers for their lost loved ones. And God, we just ask you to be with them and minister to them, Father. Just burden their hearts and help them to realize their need before it's eternally too late. Many things in this world and many things in this life we can live without and do without, but to live a life without you and to die without you is the most horrible thing imaginable, because it condemns us to a life in hell, a life of separation from you for all of eternity, a life of suffering and torment. And God, we just ask you to help them to realize that before it's eternally too late. We pray, Father, for the many health needs that once again we know are there. And Lord, we realize and know there's not much that we can do. But Father, we know, God, that you're able to do all things. And Lord, we just ask you to meet each need according to your will. And that's our desire as we pray, Father. Many times we ask for healing. Many times we ask for deliverance. But most importantly, God, we ask for your will to be accomplished in all these needs. And we realize, Father, you know our hearts and you know our desires. And Father, what we want and what you know we need are two different things. And God, we pray for your will to be done, because you know best. And Lord, that's something that we need to learn to do more and more, is just trust that your will would be accomplished in everything. Now, Lord, be with our church as we go through the worship services, and we do it this way, Father. We're not doing it traditionally, where we gather together because of the needs that we have right now, because of what we're facing with this virus that is in our land and is affecting our people. And God, we just ask you to take each word that is spoken, each song that is shared, each thought that goes forth, Father, from our services, and use it to your glory. Use it to your honor. Use it to somehow, Father, point some soul to you. Use it somehow, Father, to encourage a saint, to encourage another believer, God, who's maybe discouraged, maybe downhearted, and maybe just needs something to pick them up. And Lord, help us, God, in everything and in every way to honor you in all that we do. It's our desire. You know what our heart's desire is, and we would love to be able to get everybody here together. We'd be love to be able to even have a parking lot service if that's possible. But God, until then, we just pray, God, that you would just honor what we're doing now, Father, and bless it to your glory in all things. And we thank you, Father, for what you've done. We thank you, Father, for what we know you will do. And God, we give you honor, glory, and praise, and asking all these things in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen. And it is good to be able to turn to God's Word again tonight, and to find hope and to find help and to find encouragement that can only be found in Him and through His Word. Turn with us tonight into Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. It's a familiar psalm to many. And one particular verse, verse number 8, is especially familiar to us. We've heard it. It's quoted in the New Testament as well. And we know that God uses His Word to help us and God uses His Word as a testimony. That's why testimonies are so important. Psalm 34 is a testimony of David to God's goodness, to His faithfulness, to God's blessing upon his life. And when the saints of God stand up and they testify, and even though we may go on and we may pass on from this life, our testimony can be a help to encourage those who are left behind. David has been gone for thousands of years now, but praise God, his testimony of God's faithfulness lives on. I've got saints of God that have gone on that I've known, but praise God, their testimony lives on of God's faithfulness to them in their lives. And that's what we need to be, is an encouragement, a testimony, a help to somebody along the way. And in this time when things seem so uncertain, and the simplest things, things that we used to take for granted, uncertain. It's good to know that we have a God that we can turn to, a God that we can call on, a God that we can lean on, and He is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, He's always there to meet our every need. In Psalm 34, in verse number 1, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Let's end our reading right there. Our Father, we come to You again asking Your blessing upon Your precious word, asking You to encourage the saints, asking You to bring conviction to the sinner, asking You, Lord, to draw those that are lost and undone, Father, that they might try and taste and see that You're good. They might check You out, Father, and find out that there's nothing like You in this world. Now, God, have Your will, have Your way in everything, and help us, Father, to honor You in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray tonight, and again we say amen and amen. As David here is giving his testimony, he's telling about the goodness of God in his life. In verses 1 to 3, he gives an exhortation to praise because God has been so good. He encourages us to praise, and he wants us to praise. And he says in verse number 1 that he purposes in his heart to praise. He said, look, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. David here has made this purpose, has made this claim, has made this proclamation that regardless of what anybody else is going to do, the Lord is going to get praised by him. His praise is going to be continually on his lips. He's going to continually be telling everybody about how good God is. Can you imagine what it would be like right now if God's people would just go around and when everybody else is complaining about the coronavirus, tell everybody just how good God is in their lives. Just praising God. Y'all bear with me tonight. I want to preach, and I want to preach hard, but my throat has about had it. I preached hard this morning. And the devil don't want to, God's people to get encouraged. The devil don't want us to go out. But David said, I will. And you know, when we make a determination, when we purpose to do something, we can accomplish what we purpose to do. Daniel, over in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of the world in Daniel 1 and 8. And you know, when Daniel purposed to do that, he did that. And everybody else was enjoying all the king's dainties and all the king's meats and everything else. But David, I said, just give us pulse and water. Just give us vegetables and water and prove and see hey, if God don't allow us to fare better. He purposed in his life to do it, and he did it. You know, dear friend, tonight, if you would purpose in your heart and you would purpose in your life to praise God and to worship God and to go about your life with an attitude of worship in your life, it would fare far better for you and everyone around you than to go around miserable and complaining about the things that are happening. You can't go to the store and buy everything you want and everything you need, but praise God, you can get enough to get you by. We don't have to live in want, and we don't have to live without. We aren't supposed to be running around and going everywhere we want to, but just cherish the time that you have at home, the serenity and the peace that God has granted you. A lot of things are different, but praise God, a lot of things are so much better because God has given us an opportunity to stop and to think and to sit back and just to realize how good he's been and how good he is and what he's doing for us. I woke up this morning. I had food to eat. I got a roof over my head. There's nothing that I can say that I stand in need of. And praise God, I just need to praise him for all he's done. There's a lot of things we've looked for at the store we can't find, but praise God, we really can do without them, and just because we can't find them don't mean they were in need. We have something to eat. It might not be what we was wanting and what we was anticipating, but praise God, we've got what he's given us, and that's enough reason to praise him right there. And then look at the power of praise. When we purpose to praise, it has power in what we do. In Psalm 22, it said that God inhabits the praises of his people. And look, when God inhabits something, God can use it, and God can work in it, and God can do great things. Look at what he said. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Praise God. When we begin to praise God, when we begin to worship him, and we have that attitude about us, it begins to affect other people. It begins to cheer up and encourage other people. It begins to help someone around us. Have you ever been around somebody that was just plumb miserable all the time? I've worked with people that were just plumb miserable. They were miserable all the time, and they would make everybody miserable around them. I had guys that I worked with, and if you're listening, fellas, I can't help it. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. And I had people that would come from another place, and when they came, they always come to the shop. And I asked them one time, how come you always come in here and go see those fellas when you come? Y'all used to work together or something? They said, no. He said, I just met them guys a few years ago, and every time I see them, they just complain. He said, every time I come here, I stop by just to hear them complain, and it reminds me of just how good I really have it. Is that the kind of a testimony that you want to have? I do not think so. The child of God ought to have a testimony that tells the world that God has been good to them, tells the world that they're blessed because God has touched their lives, and God has had his hand upon their lives. Hebrews 10:24, I said, let us consider and provoke one another unto love and good works. Why? Because God is good, and God wants to bless us, and God wants us to be a blessing to others, and an encouragement and a help. And then look at the partnership that arises in praise in verse number 3. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If everyone would have an effect on just one person, and one other person would start worshiping with you and start praising God with you and start lifting God's name up with you, and then that one person would go and affect one more person, look at what great power the church would have. Don't diminish, don't hinder, and don't look down upon the power of one. You say, well, I'm just one person. Well, have you seen what they said about this coronavirus? One person has the ability to affect 10, and those 10 have the ability to infect 10 more. And just think how that multiplies and how that just exponentially explodes. Just imagine if God's people could infect people with an attitude and a heart and a desire to praise God, and they would purpose in their lives to give God glory and honor and praise. Just think what one person, what one Christian, what one individual who would praise God is able to do in their life. Kids, you can do it in your schools. Mom and dad, you can do it at the workplace. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your extended families. You can do it at the grocery store. You can do it at the auto parts store. You can do it at the hardware store. It don't matter where you are. If you take up an attitude of praising God, it can have an effect on other people's lives. Because God is good. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. A friend the other day posted something along the lines of, tell me what's good or something about, or tell me something positive about all this quarantine and stuff. I said, look at the time families are spending together now that they have got out of the habit of. Look at the time you have to reflect. And I think maybe I shared some of this before. But just look at all the blessings that God has given us that we take for granted. You know, they say the pessimist sees the glass half empty. The optimist sees the glass half full. But the opportunist sees a glass of water, sees a drink. Let us seize the opportunity and take the time to continually praise God at all times, in every situation. So we have an exaltation to praise God, but then we have a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Why do you think David is trying to exalt and encourage people to praise God and telling how he's going to praise God? Because of what God has done for him. God is faithful. It don't matter what we believe, think, or feel, God is still faithful. Look in verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. David said that he found in God, and he's found in God's faithfulness, a deliverer that had been there for him. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm telling you, I'm glad for the time that he delivered me from my sin and the trespasses of my sin. I'm thankful for the time that I've been in trouble and I've had fears and I've been dealing with things and I was unsure and I was uncertain. And praise his name, God come down and spoke peace to my heart. A storm was raging physically. A storm was raging mentally. A storm was raging emotionally. But praise God, he came by my way and said, peace be still. Everything's all right. I've got you in the midst of all this. Aren't you glad that God delivers? Aren't you glad that time and time again when we face problems in our life, God delivers us? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 10-11, Paul is talking about how you know how Timothy, he said, you know my doctrine, my manner of life and all those things I've faced before. He said, but you know all the persecution that I faced as well. He said, but God had delivered me from them all. God had brought me out of it. God it was who gave me the victory. I want you to know something. God is still a deliverer. He delivered David in the Old Testament. Paul said he delivered him in the New Testament. And I bet there's some saints of God that could stand up tonight and could stand up and say, I remember the time time when I was in trouble. I remember the time when I was going down for the last time that God reached forth His hand and He delivered me. Saint, I want you to know something tonight. I'm glad that God still reaches down and still touches and God still delivers. God delivers again and God delivers again and God delivers again. Praise His name. He's a delivering God. And not only that, in verse number 6, Paul says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Aren't you glad? Not only is he a deliverer, but he's a Savior. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews that he saves to the uttermost. And praise his name tonight. I'm glad that when I call upon him, I'm glad that when I trusted him, I'm glad that when I cried out, this poor man cried. I didn't have anything to offer. David said, I was poor. There was nothing I could give him. Oh, but praise his name. He saved me out of all my troubles. I'm glad tonight that we serve a Savior that is able to do everything. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Over in Jude, it's only one chapter there, but down in verse 25, he said to our God, our Savior, he said, be glory, power, dominion forever. Praise God. Jude notes all the things that are happening in the church and all the problems that the church is facing. How about he ends that little epistle, that little letter that he wrote there with this encouraging thought at the very bottom of his letter. And he said to God, our Savior, praise his name tonight. He's still a Savior. Praise his name tonight. He hasn't changed. And he deserves all glory. He deserves all power and dominion forever. Why? Because he's still a Savior. And he still does what only a Savior can do. The devil can't save you. The doctor can't save you. The world can't save you. But Jesus saves. Amen. And praise his name tonight. I'm glad we have a Savior that hears our cries. A Savior that knows us. A Savior that'll save us when we call upon him. And then look in verse number 7. Man, you want to talk about something to shout about. You want to talk about a reason to testify, a reason to praise. David says it right here. He's a deliverer. He's a Savior. And he's a protector. In verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Aren't you glad tonight that the devil can't get to you unless the Lord allows him to get to you with something? The devil, he might be able to afflict your flesh, but he can't touch your soul. The Bible tells us that plainly. He said the devil, when he was wanting to attack Job, said, I can't do anything. You got a hedge about him. The devil wanted to do something horrible, but God has him on a leash. And God has him on a leash today, friends. He's still the prince and the power of the air. He still can affect you. He can still afflict you. He can still tempt you. But he's a deliverer. He's a Savior. And praise God, he's a protector. The Bible says when temptation comes, he makes a way of deliverance. The Bible assures me of this one thing, that there's not a thing in my life that can happen to me that God doesn't allow to happen. The devil has no power. The devil has no strength in my life that he doesn't allow to happen. Look, in Psalm 91, he reminds us that he's a refuge. He reminds us that he's a high tower. He reminds us that he's our fortress. He's all these things. But praise God, he also tells us something. I want to look at Psalm 91 here real quick. I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to tonight. I think it's important. Listen to what he says. Verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. But listen here in verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler.
David said, listen, he said, the Lord will gather you just like a bird, just like a chicken will her chicks under his wing, and he'll protect you and he'll keep you. But look at what he said, thy truth is our shield and our buckler. You know what we have that the rest of the world don't have? You know what we got for strength? We got a sword. We got protection. We got help that we can stand and we can fight and we can go back against those that would hinder us and those that would try to destroy us. But more than that, we have protection because His Word is His Word, the very truth of His Word, the very reality of His Word. Everything that His Word is, the psalmist said here, David said, is a shield and a buckler. Amen. Do you know what that means? He tells us in the Word in Ephesians 6 that the Word of God is a sword. It's an offensive weapon. But not only that, he tells us right here that the truth of God's Word is a shield. It don't matter what the devil says. He's a liar because God speaks truth. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. What matters is what does saith the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to stand on something, if I'm going to trust in something, if I'm going to find help in something, if I'm going to find protection in this world and protection from the snares of the fowler, I'm going to find it in the truth of God's Word. I can go read all the literature I want to. I can't find the truth that I can find in God's Word. I can go read all the philosophers that I want to. And philosophers have had some good thoughts and some good things to say. Let me tell you what, Confucius had some very wise things to say. But his wise sayings can't do what the truth of God's Word can. All the ancient writers and the ancient philosophers and the ancient intellects have written the volumes upon volumes of things that are interested in good. But none of them hold the truth that God's Word holds for my life. And I can find protection when I come to the Word. When the devil comes and the devil's seeking to destroy, I can find a Word to refute him. What did Jesus do every time the devil come and tempted him and took him out into the wilderness and began to tempt him? What was it he did? He afflicted every emotion, every aspect of his humanity. And how did Jesus defend himself in his humanity against the attacks and the assaults and the assail of the devil? He refuted him and he rejected him and he sent him away with God's Word. When he had affected him in every aspect of life, in the flesh, in his pride, in every aspect of his humanity, when it was all done, the devil was left fleeing, and the angels would come and ministered. You want to find protection in this world, then find it in the truth of God's Word. It's a shield. It's a buckler. It's a help to you. It'll strengthen you. And then lastly, look down in verses 8 to 10. Now, I set off studying this. I come to this chapter in the Bible, and I come looking in verses 17 and 18 for the thought that I thought God was bringing me to, and that's not where God had me. He brought me back to the first 10 verses, and He brought me back here for a purpose. There's something here that we need to grasp. There's an exaltation to praise God. There's a testimony of the faithfulness of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Praise God, I'm glad we have a faithful God who's faithful to all generations. But then in verses 8 to 10, we find a challenge to trust God. I can praise God all day long. I can tell you how good God is all day long. But until you try Him for yourself, until you take the challenge grasp just what it is that God can do and what God wants to do, you'll never experience just how good God truly is. I could probably preach all night on verse number 8, but we're going to try just to go on. And listen what he says in verses 8 to 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now listen, in verse number 8, David says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want you to think about what he's saying there for a minute. He says, O taste and see. You know, when children are coming up, when a baby is first born, you don't have to tell that child to taste this milk and drink it. He has a natural hunger for it, and he'll go right to it. Now, I know there are some children that are allergic to different types of milk, and they have to go to something else. But I want you to know something. Every child that has been born is born with a need that has to be satisfied, and they'll seek what it is that's going to satisfy them. But the problem is, as these children grow, they sometimes have to acquire a taste for something. They don't realize they like it. And the problem we live in, the problem I see in a lot of kids today is moms aren't willing to be patient enough to let their children develop a palate for things. Sure, at first they may not like it and they might spit it out, but you know what? After a bit, they learn to like it. They learn to eat it because they learn that it satisfies and that it nourishes. And they will eat and they'll keep eating that stuff and they'll keep eating that thing. And I've learned as I've grown older that my taste changes. My taste bud changes. The things I find more satisfying even changes. So it's a continual process of having to taste and see how things are going to play out in our palate and in our mouth. As a child of a newborn child that seeks to satisfy that which is naturally in them, we have a spiritual hunger that is within us as well that needs to be satisfied. And people seek to satisfy that hunger in the world. And they try all the things of this world. And some people, they got to just have everything that the world has to offer. They got to do everything that the world has to offer them. And none of these things satisfy. Let me tell you this. If you'll taste and see, if you'll make a child keep trying something even though they don't like it, after a bit, they realize, this isn't so bad. This is pretty good. Now, when I was growing up in our house, Mom cooked a meal. And you ate the meal that she cooked, or you ate nothing. Now, some people say, well, that's cruel. That's not. Well, no, she put a meal there. She labored. She worked for that meal. She provided that meal. It was there for you to eat. You could eat that meal, or you could eat nothing. I never liked liver. I still don't like liver. I won't eat liver. But when Mom made liver and gravy, you know what I ate? I ate gravy. Amen? That was it. That was my meal. Maybe mashed potatoes and some gravy and onions on the mashed potatoes, but I wouldn't eat the liver. I just don't like the liver. But I ate what she had there, or I did without. And I've never grown a taste for liver, but I've learned how to be satisfied when she had what I didn't like. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. Sometimes we can find satisfaction even though we don't like it. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. How are you going to know if the Lord can meet your needs if you don't try? How are you going to know if the Lord is just worthy of being served if you don't try? I can tell you all day long. I can tell you all day long how good something is, but until you try it, you'll never know for yourself. I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, try it. I know you'll like it. Amen. Nobody that has ever died trusting Christ as their Savior has ever regretted it. I can tell you that right now. Amen. I can tell you that on the authority of God's Word. But those who have refused to taste, those that have refused to try Jesus and have died without Him, have regretted every opportunity that they had to try Him and did not try Him. I found this in my life, that sometimes I don't always like what the Lord wants me to do, but I do it anyway. I found sometimes in my life that I don't always want to go where the Lord wants me to go, but I go anyway. I found sometimes it's not always the thing that I like the most, but it's what I need the most. Some food you eat, not because you particularly like it the most, but because you realize the benefits of it. There's something, I'm not a big seafood eater, but I eat fish because they say it's good for you. And I tolerate it and I can palate it, and especially some that don't taste real fishy. Amen. But I got to taste it. I've got to try it. And unless I try it, how can I know if I'm going to like it? If I don't try what the Lord wants me to try, how am I going to know that I can't do it? I run from preaching for years. But praise God, I've been more satisfied preaching the Word of God than I ever was a running. I tried to do everything else around the church. I tried to do every other thing there was to do. But nothing satisfied like doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Even though it's not what I wanted to do, it's what I needed to do. And then let me say this. There's a lot of Christians that have quit serving. A lot of Christians that have quit tasting the Lord. You know, sometimes it's been a long time since you've had something and you remembered that it was good, but you forgot just how good it was. Anybody ever tried anything like that? Something that was so good and you used to eat it maybe a lot and it had been ages since you had it and you can kind of remember that it's good, but you kind of forgot just exactly what it tasted like. Sometimes God's people need to taste again. Amen. They need to get a taste of what it is to get in there whole hog and get in there and let the Lord have us a way in your life completely and surrender wholly unto Him so that you can just savor what He's wanting to do for you. Our spiritual need can only be met in Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because of the sufficiency of what He gives you. It won't leave you wanting. There's some food that you can eat, and you get done eating it, and a short while later, you're still hungry. It fills you up real fast while you're eating it, but it will leave you wanting lately. Later, it'll leave you hungry. And God's Word isn't like that. And God's presence and having God in your heart and having God in your life, having the Lord set on the throne of your heart won't leave you wanting. It will leave you satisfied. If you know Jesus as your Savior and you find yourself wanting, it's not because He's not able to satisfy. It's because you're not tasting what it is that He wants for you to taste, to be satisfied, to let Him satisfy you. Look at what He goes on to say. He says, try and savor knowing Him. And then in verse 9, He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, when you're willing to try what the Lord gives you and what the Lord offers you, you find out that He's sufficient for your every need. We see in Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21, with five loaves and two fishes, they were sufficient to feed the multitude. It didn't look like much, and really it wasn't much. We're not talking about these fish. I got a thing the other day on Facebook, a world record, a striped bass or a rockfish had been caught down in the Virginia waters of the Chesapeake Bay. That thing was 85 pounds. The guy's holding this thing. It is huge. It's a monster. We're not talking about a fish like that. I think we're talking about a little old tiny fish about this big. Two little fishes and five little we'd probably call them a biscuit or a dinner roll today. It didn't look like much, and it wasn't much, but praise God, it was sufficient to feed the multitudes. We have a God that can satisfy, a God that can supply sufficiently for what our needs were. As long as the disciples were with the Lord, their needs were always met. They always had sufficient for the time. They always had sufficient for their needs. When it come time to pay taxes, Jesus told Peter to go catch the fish and take the coin out of his mouth and go pay the taxes. He was sufficient for their needs. When the cripples and the blind and the lame and everybody else came to Jesus, he was always sufficient for their needs. Let me tell you something. If you'll try him today, he's still sufficient for whatever your need is. You're addicted, he's sufficient. Rebirth can do what rehab will never accomplish. Amen. Trust Jesus. If you slipped into sin, you slip back into those addictions, let me tell you what, he's still sufficient. Amen. He can bring you out of whatever the devil has brought you into. Psalmist said, I was in a horrible pit in a miry clay. But he said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Amen. He's sufficient. He's sufficient to meet your needs. He's sufficient to bring you out. He's sufficient to supply whatever it is that you stand in need of. And if you'll taste him and you'll try him and you'll savor him, you'll find out that even in the prison cell, Paul and Silas found he was sufficient. They found reason to praise and pray and sing and worship God. Then look in verse number 10 for just a moment. He says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. There's a savor in trusting Jesus. There's a savor in a good food, a good meal. Some foods just got that savory taste and that savory experience, and you eat them and you just think about them and you think about how good they were. And you want more. But you find out that what he's given you and what he has, the world might not think much of, but it's sufficient. And because you can savor what he has and it's sufficient to meet your needs, you find yourself satisfied. You know why so many Christians are out trying to dabble in the world, and they're straddling the fence, and they can't decide whether they want to be in or they want to be out? It's because they haven't let the Lord satisfy them. They haven't savored the Lord the way that they should. And they're not finding satisfaction. See, when we realize that he's sufficient, we don't need anything but him. You know, spouses look at other people. They look at a different man or a different woman, thinking that this other individual is going to satisfy them. And they ruin a marriage, they ruin a relationship, just to find out that the wife that they had, the husband that they have, was sufficient to begin with. People try to escape reality through drugs and alcohol. And they think that just some more drugs and just some more alcohol are going to drown all my problems. And they find out that they just bring about more problems. Pretty soon you've lost everything trying to gain something that can never satisfy. when all you had to do was trust Jesus and turn to Him and try Him and let Him satisfy you. We have a tendency to try to find satisfaction in the things of this world. More money, more leisure, more play. You know why families are freaking out right now over this COVID-19? It's because they're forced to spend time with one another. Isn't that unreal? Well, there's only so much we can do. They're your family. They're the most precious gift you have in this world. Savor it and enjoy it. You might not ever get this opportunity again. And many times, and many people won't. But savor the Lord. Try Him. Trust Him. He's sufficient. You can trust in all that He offers you will satisfy you completely. You don't have to look for anything else. At the end of Psalm 91, after the psalmist talking about the refuge and the tower and the protection, the shield and the buckler and everything that God was unto him, he finishes with this thought in verse number 16. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God has promised to satisfy us. God said, He is enough. When I have Jesus, I have all that I need because He's enough. When I have Jesus, I realize that He's good enough because I've tried Him. I've tasted and seen that He's good. I've savored what He's done. I've savored the life that He's given me, the blessings that He's bestowed upon me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have all that I need. I have everything that I need because I have Jesus. The psalmist tells us here in these 10 verses, there's no greater reason to rejoice than to rejoice in the blessings that God has bestowed upon His people. There's no greater story to tell than the story of the faithfulness of God and how He's delivered His people in the Old Testament. He's delivered His people in the New Testament. He's been there for them, and He's been a strength and a help and an encouragement to them. There's nothing greater to trust than to trust in a God that can satisfy and satisfy you sufficiently enough to where there's nothing else in this world can give you what you want and what you need. 1 Timothy 4:9 and 10 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He's the Savior. And knowing Him is the greatest blessing. Knowing Him is the greatest sufficiency. Knowing Him is the greatest thing that I can know in this life. I'm not a real smart person, but I'm smart enough to know this, that one day I was without a remedy. One day I was without help, and Jesus saved me. And though I failed Him along the way, there's not one time that He's failed me. Though I've let Him down many a times, there's not one time that He's ever let me down. His sufficiency and the satisfaction are beyond comprehension, beyond explanation. I can't tell you how good he's been, but trust me, he's good. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, won't you try? Won't you call upon him? Ask him to save you. If you don't know how to be saved, just look our information up and get a hold of somebody or get a hold of a Christian that you know, and they can tell you how the Lord can save your soul. Christian, if you've grown backslidden and you're cold and indifferent, I encourage you to taste him again and just to savor him one more time and just remember how good he really is. Trusting in him for all things. Father, we ask you to bless your word as it's went forth tonight. We ask you to strengthen the saint with it. We ask you to convict the sinner with it. And we ask you, Lord, to take it tonight and use it to your glory according to your purpose and your will. Help us, God, to give all glory and honor unto you in everything that we do. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. We say amen. Don't forget to join us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for our midweek service as we bring another message from the Word of God. And we're praying about the sunrise service and Easter service. And hopefully we will be able to maybe do something that can be a blessing to everybody in a special way. We're working on that. You be in prayer about that, that things will work according to the way that God needs them to work, that we might honor him in all that we do. We thank you for being with us tonight. Don't forget to tune in again to Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and join us. If you have a need, don't be afraid to reach out and get a hold of me. If you got a prayer request, you can get a hold of me or Sister Debbie Stanley and just let her know what the needs are, and we'll try to lift them up in prayer. And if you have a need that you need me to deal with personally, certainly reach out to me, and I will see to it that we meet those needs as best we can according to God's will. Thank you. Good night, and God bless you.